Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Xavi Alonso, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
A dig. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. For the last time, I'm going to be saying that for a couple of months. What a sad thing.
That's if we come back.
Yeah. One can always live in hope, James or Jim.
I don't think the internet's going to allow us to come back.
Is that right?
We're so awesome!
we're not so awesome.
May I? Jim's here.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Beefy!
And Luke. Luke's here.
Right.
And I'm Marcus, of course. It is the last ramble of the season, boo-hoo, but what a ramble it's going to be. We're going to start by asking the Ramblers, what's your highlight of the season? Anything, a goal, a match, a player, a transfer, an event?
A presenter?
I foreshadowed this.
Save that for the encore.
Yeah. I foreshadowed this last week, but Keys and Gray. Just love it. Just absolutely love it. I'm still really happy about it.
It's a strong start.
A couple of weeks ago, Marcus tried to bring out that, on these big nights, you're not missing a little bit. And Jim was just like, no, definitely not. I like it more.
I was being provocative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's just, they were just so offensively smug, so continuously. And they seem to think that they were the attraction rather than the football. And to see them pulled up on something as disgusting as they did, it was the right thing. It was good to see the right thing happen.
Yeah. Well, they've been horrible people for 20 years.
Exactly, but they exposed themselves as that in their sort of most childish, ridiculous way. Yeah. Just made them look like a pair of kids,
It was the final straw.
Absolutely.
And the football the football broadcast and landscape, in my opinion, is better off without them. I mean, we've hardly noticed them, really. They're sort of almost a curiosity in the past. That you think, oh, you remember them, and so every so often something comes out in an advert or something and you're reminded of them, but you've not really missed them.
One of those ones where you go, I remember St. Greasy. You don't necessarily think about them day to day, but they were a huge part of the footballing landscape.
But do you think it's because, they've been removed and everything's better and good for it? It's a bit like if you've got some really annoying, noisy neighbours and they move away. You don't say all the time, isn't it great they're gone? You just
take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of like
the
balance is restored.
A cloud.
It's good. I mean, obviously, football's something we all love, and it's just good to not have a pair of bellends on it all the time. Yeah.
When you can have four
for free, no subscription
for free
required
for the moment.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. So
I'm not here for this.
Jimmo's gone for the sacking of Keys and Gray. Oh well, it was Gray who got sacked, and Keys kind of left.
Yeah,
of
Keys
course
fell on his sword. Keys fell onto Andy Gray's giant pork sword.
Fell on his keys,
allegedly.
Oh dear. Pete, what have you got for us?
What do you think I've got for you?
Is it four all?
It's four all. Check TOA, a fine performer all season. I mean, tied with FIFA sort of collapsing under the weight of their own greed.
FIFA are in the bunker in Berlin at the moment. And the Red Army are closing
under
in.
The siege is brilliant.
Don't worry, we're going to be talking about FIFA later
they're
on.
They're effectively the Arsenal defence. And they're just the final nail in the coffin is going to come. Barton's going to swing in that corner. Ola Jordi's going to go, oh, when someone heads the ball out. Oh, who's that standing on the edge of the penalty area?
It's Grant Wall.
It's justice.
It's justice, yeah. So you're basically, the measure of the club that you support is that you're celebrating the greatest moment of the season. They've played 38 games. A draw.
A draw.
Solitary draw.
What makes me laugh is, right, that here they release a DVD, and at the end of this season, the 5-0 Man United drumming has just come out on DVD, which I quite like. Yeah.
Well, it's not been. Surely it was on VHS.
I presume it was on VHS.
If you watch a DVD of
it's on Blu-ray now,
and it is essentially a draw, when you finish watching it with your Geordie family, do you sort of go, yeah, good point. Good point.
Geordie
family. Good point,
an important point.
Yeah.
That's 4 points over 2 matches against Arsenal.
Well, then do the other one then.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy enjoyed that match. I was there for that one.
Yeah, so. I don't remember these games.
4-0 down, 4-all. To be fair, it was incredible.
Oh, it was great.
One of the best ones.
But my point is that us aren't likely to forget it, are we? Sitting next to him.
But, I mean, you were raving about Tiote the whole season, weren't you?
So he's been absolutely brilliant. Him and Enrique have been just an absolute tonic.
They're giving him about a 14,000-year deal as well, so he'll be around.
So he'll be there in his grave.
And he looks like a nice fella as well. He sounds like a nice fella.
Mohawk? Has he got a mohawk?
He's got a bit of one, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Balotelli.
Luke?
I think on a slightly more sort of serious note, I think I'll go for the continuing revelation that is Lionel Messi, or Lionel Messi, apparently should be cool because he's allegedly named after Lionel Richie, so he should be Lionel Messi.
Either that,
is
or it's
he?
Lionel Richie.
That's what his parents said through Ida Goodjohnson on Sky Sports a couple of months ago.
Through Ida Goodjohnson.
Yeah, well, that's what Goodjohnson said. He said he was corrected by Lionel Messi, saying that he's named after Lionel Richie. Don't shoot the messenger.
Goodjohnson also.
But that's not what I want to talk about.
Lionel Messi's name is my highlight of the season.
But what I want to talk about is the fact that I know a lot's said about him, and you know, you're not going to say anything original. I mean, because he will carve any team in history open with his skill and his pace. But the point is, it's important to remember, I think, that a player of his quality only comes along once in a generation, and it's very important to stop and smell the roses and be very thankful that he's around playing now, because we're so lucky this generation that we can see a lot of football through on television from all around the world, and we don't have to miss a game of his if we don't want to. That's great.
Have you ever seen him play?
Never. No, but I've seen Barcelona, but he didn't play.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can contribute to this debate then.
Big gob.
I don't need to. I let him do the talking. No, an excellent point, Luke, about
we'll
Messi.
Come back to
and
Messi.
Of course, he got his goal in the Champions League final, which we'll talk about very soon.
And he plays football in the right spirit. He never goes down, and he's getting kicked constantly.
Yeah, always wants to play.
There's a wonderful YouTube clip of, I think it's quite simply called something like Messi Never Goes Down. Yeah. And it is ridiculous. It's a few minutes of defenders hacking at him and chopping him to bits, and he just doesn't do it. Yeah. And he's well within his right. It's a foul.
He's like built of gyroscopes, isn't he?
Yeah. His thigh muscles are extraordinary as well. If you see
his core strength,
it would be superb.
Centre of gravity is almost like just horizontal. It's incredible.
It's a black hole.
Yeah. But as you said, that it's so nice for the best player in the world to be such a likeable fella.
It's great that Ronaldo is so good, but he's just such a spiv.
But the two,
are just so really dislikeable.
Complete binary opposite.
Absolutely.
But you got to feel a bit. You can understand Cristiano Ronaldo's frustration because it's clearly important to him to be with the best player in the world. Yeah. Those sort of people. Yeah. And in any other sort of time, he probably would. But
yeah, almost certainly.
You know, because like we talked about last week, his record-breaking career season in Spain and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for him, it must just be horrible because everyone's talking about Messi all the time. Oh yeah, and then Ronaldo broke the all-time scoring record in La Liga.
But back to the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the thing about Ronaldo is that Messi just palms it off. Yeah. Were you a man of the match? No. Team was great. Ronaldo's like, yeah, get. You know? absolutely. Although Ronaldo had his moment in the Spanish Cup final when he got the goal.
Let's take nothing away from Cristiano Ronaldo. That wasn't my intention at all.
No. Good. Messi's goal against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu in the semi-final was quite something for me. But I did enjoy it when Gigi Becali called that bloke a paranoid tramp.
You're a friend of football, you aren't you?
Becali is a shocking human being and he's provided entertainment in the highest possible degree. I think the points go to Luke Moore.
Thank you. Well, I'll get dedicated to Lionel Messi.
And he'll give him back to you though.
Have we got him here? Is he going to come in?
No, he doesn't fancy talking.
No, fair enough.
I'm sorry, Jimbo, I wanted to give the points to you but I can't in the name of football.
It's alright.
In the name of football. Right, the Champions League final was won by Barcelona 3-1. What a game.
It was exceptional, wasn't it? It's just got this boa constrictor style. After the final in 2009, a lot of the United players and sort of fans and Ferguson himself as well were saying, oh, I don't think we really put in a good account of ourselves. And they were saying before the game they really want to kind of, you know, get at Barcelona and just sort of impose themselves on Barcelona rather than the opposite.
Pitch,
for a bit. But it was similar to in Rome, you know, United came out quite strongly and then they just couldn't sustain it. And I just think it's the style of Barcelona that you just can't. You're never going to feel like you've played to your full potential because they just don't give you the ball.
No.
What can you do? Xavi completed 148 passes. That's obscene.
Yeah. He only dropped five or something. It's like out of that number.
Well, that's outrageous. Obviously over one. Well, it's almost one and a half a minute or whatever. And given that the ball's not in play for anywhere near 90 minutes anyway,
it's a remarkable
amount. The thing that backs up what you're saying, Jim, is when Manchester United did manage to score, it was like you wouldn't have been able to tell. Arsenal just didn't take any notice.
No, that's
they
right.
just carried on.
Yeah, well, they do, don't they? They just don't panic. It's just calm, and they know they're going to win.
But United, credit for that. It was a great goal.
That was a great goal. Yeah,
and from actually start to finish, it was a great move.
And Rooney was one of the very few players who actually had a good game. I thought.
I'm glad for him that he scored.
Yeah,
because you know a lot of people have been writing him off a lot, and for him to score in a European Cup final is it's something.
I found it very hard to watch Evra at left back just. Yeah. Completely every single time for their first goal, Messi just stopped walking. Stop running. He ran towards the goal, stopped running. About four players crowded round him because they thought he's going to do something.
I think they were watching.
Everett forgot about the player coming in on the right. They're always going to have a player on the right, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure enough, somebody puts it in.
I think that's the thing. They've got a player everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they do look.
Maybe they're sneaking players on. If anyone checked.
I was watching.
Ferguson was come out of the dugout. 12!
Count them. I was watching it at home with my family, and not all of them watching an awful lot of football. And they were making the point, which was to them, it seemed like Barcelona had more players.
Yeah.
It did genuinely seem like that to them. And what you were saying about the first goal, Vidic went absolutely postal at Evra, didn't he?
Well, he did that a few times before that happened as well. He just was not following his player at all. He was just looking at what Messi was doing. It was ridiculous.
Souness made a good point. He said Barcelona have the ball and they come forward and they shuffle the pack. They almost shuffle the United back four.
Yeah.
Just move them over. And when there is just that split second, and Vidic and Evra just got tangled up, as you say, Pete, that's it. See you later.
There are times when they play, I think in the build up to one of the goals, this was even the case, I think possibly Messi's goal, they just don't even run. You know, they're literally just standing around, passing the ball around. It's just, you know, the movement's just so just brilliant.
Yeah.
That they don't even need to run. They just let the other team knacker themselves out.
The movement's done when another one of their teammates has got a ball, which sounds obvious, but when they've got the ball, you're obviously focusing on the player with the ball. The movement around them is incredible, and it's impossible for the players to keep up with them.
Yeah,
and they've always got a man free and always got a man over.
But what I can't understand is that the Barcelona play, they press, which is hard work to do, and then they're always moving off the ball, which requires a lot of running around. They never look tired, though.
No, they don't.
It's almost a contradiction.
Well, the act of kicking the football is like their least of their work, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
that's
they're
right.
never going to look sort of like because you're watching the ball all the time. Yeah. You're always going to watch the player on the ball. But I'm so glad that such an amazing goal was scored in the final, the Villa goal in particular. No run up, just a standing start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked,
it was like a free kick, wasn't it?
He teed himself.
Incredible.
It's wonderful. A free kick before anyone could react.
Two touches.
And Van der Sar's got a hell of a reach on him.
Yeah.
He's huge.
I didn't think Van der Sar had a great game, to be honest. Real shame, actually.
Yeah. Second goal, his positioning wasn't great. I know
he was unsighted, though, wasn't he?
Of course.
I don't think his position for the first goal was that great either. He left a big gap at the near post, which I know it happened very quickly. And I know it was a split second and the ball wasn't in there. But
he had a while to see it coming, though, to be fair.
He did. And it was interesting to see United play a lot more sort of long stuff than they normally do. They didn't resort to long ball tactics, I'd say, but they played. I mean, Van der Sar was kicking it long a lot more often than he normally does, which is probably because I was reading about it. I think it was in The Independent, they were saying that. Ferguson, it was almost like Ferguson made a conscious decision that they didn't want, because they get pressed all over the pitch, they want to give the ball away in such a dangerous area, so they've brought it to start a bit further along. But also Ferdinand and Vidic were going with Messi a lot of the time, and it just made them look really uncomfortable. It made them look like they didn't really know what they wanted to do when Messi dropped so deep. They were sort of like given permission to go, but they didn't really know what they were doing, and so that completely undone them as well.
I watched my first football match in 3D on Sky 3D, and it was a fitting debut. It's incredible. It is incredible. And like the title coming up above and you're like, oh Jesus Christ. it's really genuinely quite startling. And I'm not sure who the commentator, I believe they have different commentators from the normal HD team to the Sky one, because they're talking in three dimensions apparently. But the core commentator was so annoyed at Xavi. Showboating. It's like he doesn't showboat.
No,
basically, the ball came to him and he did like a flick because he knew there was a player to his left and it was the easiest way to get the ball to him quickly, which is what that is his job. And also at the end, somebody played a 1-2 and he's like, oh, I do not like this showboating from Barcelona.
Oh,
I'd love
goodness.
To know who it was, because I know Alan Smith did the core commentating on Sky, but I don't know who it was because I missed the start of the match.
It comes to it, doesn't it, when a 1-2 is showboating?
He's the sort of bloke who gets annoyed with a kid at class who answered all the questions. questions. I'm not having this.
But it was genuinely. If it sounded like he turned up to a Russian and Diamonds game to review that, and he'd never seen Barcelona play before. He goes, they're just knocking it around their 6 yard box. What are they doing that for? They're just taking the mick.
Yeah. Keep the ball in the air.
Did you see David Villa nearly booted Xavi in the bollocks when they celebrated the goal?
Yeah.
He comes over, he kind of lifted his foot very close.
Messi did a catch by her.
He went crazy, didn't he?
I've never seen Messi celebrate like that.
Well, final, I suppose. Alves,
he scored before in the final.
Oh, no, I know, but I mean, I think that he was pleased with the sort of quality of the goal that he scored, and he just lost it. And Alves was behind him. And I know you say, Jim, especially you say you don't like Alves that much.
I do like Alves.
No, as a player, you like him.
Yeah. He was absolutely loving it though, wasn't he? Did you see him? He ran behind Messi. Messi kicked the microphone, so Alves sort of like copied him, kicked the microphone and worked as well.
Yeah, it was dead. I did get a bit teary when Abidal picked up the...
Oh, that's great. What a touch.
When Messi met Clegg was probably my favourite thing of the whole game. Actually, can I change my highlight of the season? Can I make it that?
Messi met Clegg. I just want to sit on.
This has cemented Barcelona's place as the greatest side of this generation. Probably, certainly our lifetimes and maybe ever. You know, they've eclipsed the dream team now.
Well, I think they've really got a couple more seasons possibly, I think.
But they've won. Yeah. They've won. What you know? They've definitely won more than the dream team won now, haven't they? I mean, it's amazing. Really, I felt a bit. And you're right in what you said earlier. It's very difficult for United to. It's almost churlish to criticise them because it's very difficult for them to do anything. But I thought there were underwhelming individual performances again. Like Valencia. Yeah.
Valencia was awful. Valencia could have been sent off 3 or 4 times.
He could have.
And Park, when he moved into the middle, didn't really do anything.
Well, against Mascherano.
Exactly.
It just seemed like he's played against Mascherano before. Yeah. You know, I didn't understand why they couldn't handle him. It was very strange.
Well, Mascherano moving to centre back still does a job.
Yeah, the point is as well that Hernandez has got blistering pace and he kept getting caught offside. He was looking down the line and still kept getting caught offside, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, they seemed a little overawed, maybe. Yeah.
It was a great.
See Mascherano dedicating the win to the Liverpool fan.
Yeah, he's a bit of a shit, Mascherano, isn't he? He's a bit of a shit.
He's a lot of a shit.
Even Busquets didn't disgrace himself by his own high standards. Yeah, he tried to.
Busquets had Rooney. Actually, Rooney did an all right job on Busquets dropping deep. It was just the other two. Xavi and Iniesta that they couldn't really cope for. A friend of mine said that he quite fancied United to bring out 10 men before the start, and everyone went, where's the 11th man? Then suddenly from the smoke, Owen Hargreaves with bionic legs.
That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be great.
And a type of player like him, they really miss.
Could have done with him. Yeah, yeah. And did you see them taking the net, stealing the net?
Yeah, I saw PK doing that
with the scissors. brought their own scissors along. Must have got it from the physio's bag.
Hopefully not his shot. Socks.
Send him the bill because the FA is still skint. So send him the bill.
It seems that if you win, if you win the Champions League, you can just do what you like. Maybe that's how I got Shakira. Yeah. A couple of years ago.
I take you as my prize.
Guardiola, his contract expires in a year's time, and making sounds that he's going to leave after that.
Well, he only signs for a year at a time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's maintained for a long time that he sees management as a very short thing. I mean, maybe it's to sort of cement his legacy, just do as much as quickly as possible and then just get out there, who knows?
I'm pretty sure he's out of contract this summer and he's got to negotiate a new one. Mm. Yeah, he does it on a year-by-year basis.
Right. Would you fancy him at Arsenal at some point in the future?
Of course I bloody would. Yeah, he knows how it works.
He certainly cut a different figure on the touchline, not wearing a big coat.
No, but he'd have to wear the Arsenal sleeping bag coat, wouldn't he? That'd be part of it. Maybe that's what's stopping him so far, taking the job.
I would really enjoy it if the managers from now on had to wear the Gunnosaurus suit. Just take the head off during the game, but otherwise.
No, keep it on during the game.
There was also another match played at Wembley today.
Yes.
Mm.
The playoff final.
What
amazing.
A game as well.
Absolutely amazing game.
It's the first time a Welsh side will be in the Premier League.
First time Swans are in the top flight for about 30 years.
I think so, yeah. 4-2 against Reading. My goodness. The playoff final absolutely flew, didn't they? The playoff final really...
Never disappoints.
Yeah, absolutely. They Scott Sinclair, of course, opened the scoring with a penalty.
Definite penalty as well.
Two cool finishes from him.
Yeah. I was a bit disappointed with the camera angle for the penalties.
What was it?
It was behind the goal.
Yeah, they do that now, don't they? A lot of the time.
No, but I, prefer either over the player's shoulder or the traditional.
Mm.
As I said on Twitter earlier,
I'm going to write a letter.
Kazanishvili tried his best to commit football suicide on television.
He was on one, wasn't he? Yeah. He was charging around like a mental.
It was like he had money on himself to get sent off in a certain minute.
He should have been sent off in that penalty because it was a booking and he'd already been booked, so he should have walked.
Well, J-Tab got sent off as a substitute.
A half time, yeah.
But I think, abusive language.
I think the way that Kazanishvili was playing, McDermott would have preferred him to be sent off. Just shuffle it around, get him out of the way, you can't do more damage.
I tell you what though, Swansea on about 35 minutes, so they were 3-0 up, and their fans started cheering passes, and I remember thinking, lads, this could come back to haunt you. And it nearly did, of course. Yeah. I mean, Reading straight out of the traps for the second half.
They had a very good chance to equalise as well.
Oh my God, can imagine it were at 3-3.
Hit the post, didn't they? Amazing saving, couple of saving tackles.
Yeah.
Isn't Andy Griffin looking old? Sorry.
Oh, he is, yeah.
He wasn't that good either today.
No,
he's never been that. Another shocking penalty he gave away.
Yeah,
it's a really bad one when the defender does it and he just holds his head and doesn't complain.
It's known as the Aboué. Aboué does complain, but when it's a completely needless penalty with someone going away from the goal and it's almost it'll be terminal if the other team score because it's 3-2. It's known as an Aboué.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You put him in a headlock. Why are you complaining?
Exactly.
Do you know who needs a haircut? Kishneshvili. Oh,
yeah, he does.
He's Except not quite a Lombardo, not quite a sort of receding hairline.
It's a Zidane. It's a Zidane.
Yeah, I guess so, just but not as...
Make a decision.
Just shave it off.
And Mr. Bajewski.
Yeah.
He's not a funny one, definitely. Isn't he?
Odd looking fella, but he's very old, so it's a bit harsh.
Excuse.
He was dancing at one point, Medeski. Before the game, I hastened to add.
It's going to be brilliant to have Swansea in the Premier League. I think it's going to be really interesting having a Welsh team there, and just that rivalry. I wonder if every game will just be as loud and passionate as everyone.
And it'd be great to for people on away matches to have a night out in Swansea because they not a party. They not a party. To be fair, Cardiff or Swansea would be perfect.
Do you think Cardiff will be stewing?
Oh, they must be absolutely gutted.
But the thing about Swansea is they play a really good possession game. It'll be genuinely interesting to see if they can keep that up in the Premier League or whether Rodgers changes his philosophy, which you can't see him doing.
They're the Barcelona of South Wales.
Yeah.
The Barcelona of Swansea.
I did one of my uni pieces on Cardiff when Sam Haman was owner of the club, and he actually said to me in an interview that Cardiff are the Barcelona of Northern Europe.
He will do. Cardiff, of course, sacked Dave Jones.
Yeah, which is I'm a bit ambivalent about that because he's got them to Wembley a couple of times. He got them there for the cup final, of course, which they were unlucky. He got them to the playoff final, which they lost to Blackpool, didn't they? Mm. And the semi final of the playoffs again. He's obviously a good manager, Dave Jones, but he just can't get him over that hump, and get him in the Premier League. Yeah. So maybe they need a fresh start.
Yeah, they must be absolutely gutted. They just look dead cert to go up for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of fresh starts, Big Sam is in charge of West Ham.
Yeah. What have West Ham done to God?
So you're telling me Gold, Sullivan, Brady and Allardyce isn't their dream team? that's the real dream team, that is, isn't it? that's less a lineup of board members, more of Nuremberg trial, isn't it?
It's going to be weird having a Northern West Ham manager. It's going to just seem odd.
I loved it. He went, well, I'm going to aim to get them back in the Premier League.
Well, you better be.
Yeah. Funnily enough.
That's entirely your remit.
That's a bit like saying, well, my main aim is to win games.
I'll be at training on Monday. Don't you worry about that. Good. That's the least I expect.
I intend to manage this football club.
I intend to change all the taps to gravy. Hot gravy and cold gravy, whichever you like.
Yeah.
Gravy. A little bit of transfer news, possibly. Emil Heskey might be joining up with old friend Sven at Leicester.
That'd be nice.
Old Sven. Good old Sven.
All coming full circle.
All of the above. Would that mean Heskey and Fassell up front, would it?
They'll win the World Cup.
I get the feeling that Heskey could probably do a job at 45.
He could do a job. Certainly.
he's got the nucleus of an atom, and all the other players have to go around him like an electron and a neutron. But he stands still. Yeah. And that's how he'll get when he gets a bit older, even.
Do you think so?
He's going to balloon like Barnes did. You can tell he's on the starting block now, and there's a big pie at the end of it.
Barnes at Charlton was one of the fattest players I've ever seen. Honestly, he got moved into midfield, centre midfield. You remember him at Charlton?
Yeah, and vaguely.
I swear I saw a game of him playing in the midfield, and I would put money on the fact he didn't leave the centre circle.
Mm. And he had one of those solid guts that were like a bowling ball.
Big unit. Sort of under big there. Unit.
Yeah. I love a fat footballer.
You're sitting opposite one.
What about Spurs then? Harry's close to signing Brad Friedel on a 2-year deal. 40-year-old Brad Friedel.
It seems odd at first, but it does put pressure on Gomez, which he obviously struggles with.
I have to leave.
Yeah. Redknapp's had enough of Gomez, clearly, with that.
But I mean, that's an odd signing, isn't it? I know Friedel's decent. I mean, Friedel he had a good season.
Yeah.
And he's been consistently good despite his age, but he's not going to... I mean, it's safe to assume he's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
But that's probably because Redknapp's off to Chelsea, so it don't matter about him.
Is that right? Do you think he will?
That means he's trying to weaken the opposition.
Yeah, maybe.
How much would you love it if Redknapp went to Chelsea?
Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. He would spend all the money that exists in the world. He would sign. I wouldn't be surprised if during the transfer window he signed a player every day.
One for Sandra.
Yeah, exactly. He's the only manager who, because for example, when Abramovich signed Torres and Ancelotti was a bit put out because he didn't ask for him, Redknapp'd be loving it. Yeah, you signed me another one. Brilliant, get him in.
I'm tired from all this signing. Can you take over for a bit, Robin?
They're a match made in heaven, really, aren't they?
Bet he plays Football Manager in his spare time.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Just signing and signing and signing.
I would have thought so. Newcastle look to sign Johan Caballé from Lille. That's a good signing, if indeed it goes through.
Box to box midfield, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. He's instrumental in Lille's League and Cup win this season.
Well, it looks like Lille are just going to get picked apart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Hazard might be another one who goes. Yeah. But I mean, he played a lot this season, Caballé.
Yeah, it just seems like Barton's on his way out. He'll probably go this summer. He probably won't stay till leaving.
They'll lose him on a free,
thing, I think. Well, they'll lose him on a free at the end of the season. Barton just being a dick about it. I think Barton's got to remember how unattractive he was to every single club before he joined Newcastle, and it wasn't to do with anything he did on the field. You know what I mean? People have bloody short memories.
Would you like him to stay?
Yeah, well, he's had an excellent season. Of course he has. Yeah. And to be honest, if we get a nice tall striker like Carroll, he knows how to hit balls up to Carroll. I think he set up a fair proportion of Carroll's goals. And Barton's had a decent season.
Barton for West Ham, surely.
He wouldn't take a step down, Barton, at this stage.
Do you know what I mean?
No. He's probably on a fair whack of money.
Oh, he would be, yeah. Of course he would be, absolutely.
Well, if he's out of contract, though, and nobody fancies him, Big Sam will come in.
Well, if he stays at Newcastle for another year and runs his contract down...
He's never going
to
do
that. Well, he might do that in a big two fingers up to Newcastle. And then when West Ham come up again, he'll sign for them.
Yeah.
With Big Sam at the helm. Great stuff. I feel sorry for any team that gets Big Sam.
So do I really do.
But not because he's necessarily a terrible manager per se. He just sucks all the joy out of football.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the problem.
It's the whole playing to percentages thing, isn't it? It's just so, just as you say, it's just joyless.
But maybe that's what you need in that division.
Come on,
in that division, though, you're going to be trying to get players on free. You're going to be trying to get loan players, because they'll have a complete exodus from that club and they'll have the bare bones of a
Would you
of
rather have promotion or would you rather have dignity?
He's the Laurie Sanders of the North. The League One playoff final ended. Huddersfield 0, Peterborough 3. Darren Ferguson taking the posh.
That was another really intensive game.
Yeah.
And it was poised until that sort of 7 or 8 minutes of madness, that Istanbul-esque madness. Where they got the 3 goals one after another. Mikal Smith should have scored very, very early on as well. But he looks to be off, doesn't he?
Darren Ferguson, you know, picked himself up from obviously a bad time at Preston North End. And
he's
done well.
I love Peterborough's nickname, the Posh.
Yeah, it's great.
One of my favourites, then.
Yeah. But Mikal Smith looks like he might be
to the football.
Well, someone was saying today that there's a couple of Premier League teams after him.
Right.
You know, he's come up from the non-leagues or whatever. There was talk of Millwall earlier on in the week, but I'm not sure if they can afford it.
There's always talk of
Millwall. He is a good player, though, Mikal Smith.
League 2 playoff final ended Stevenage 1, Torquay 0.
Torquay threw everything at Stevenage in that game. Mm. Really unlucky.
Even hell's bells.
Yep. It was a really good game, actually. I mean, they always are, as we've said so many times. It's a cliche, but it's very true.
Wait to see it at Old Trafford.
Brilliant. I felt for the
teams. Obviously, inevitable with the Champions League final.
Yeah, and Old Trafford and those sort of stadiums up north. It was, the other one was played at the City of Manchester Stadium. They played at the conference one, wasn't it?
Right.
But it's a shame that they don't get to go to Wembley. I mean, they're nice stadiums to play at, but I'm sure they wanted to play at Wembley, and because of the Champions League final, they couldn't do that. Because especially now at Wembley, the pitch looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks like a real nice place to play now, and I feel a bit sorry for them. Especially for the ones who didn't go up. Because they haven't even got that to sort of console themselves with.
There was another cup final in Italy. It was the Italian Cup, funnily enough. And Inter beat Palermo 3-1. Samoletto scoring a couple of goals there.
Great for Leonardo.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Is it surprising?
Well, at the start of the season.
Oh, of course, yeah. He's actually there. Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, because a lot of people were having a bit of a pop at Leonardo, saying he gets found out, gets better teams, and you got to remember.
I think he does sometimes,
but he's an experience. He's learning this trade.
I think if you know when obviously Benitez didn't have a great time, then Leonardo took over. If you'd offered him the cup and second place, I think they'd have taken that.
What, even with Milan winning it?
No, I don't think I'll retract that statement. Well, any realistic fan, I think, would have taken that. Do you not think?
Oh yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Jimbo's not sure.
Yeah, I'm indifferent.
Indeed you are. Now then, the Nations Cup was also played, gentlemen.
Mm. Oh God. This is...
Hang on.
This is a really good idea that's not going well.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? It's a real shame. 529 fans went to one of the games, I forget which.
Was that Wales, Northern Ireland?
Possibly.
Yeah. They need to change it to their double bankers. They need to change to have both games on the same day, so people get double their money and more people will go.
Yeah. Well, of course, back in February, the Cup got underway. The Irish beat the Welsh 3-0 and the Scots beat the Northern Irish 3-0 back in February, as I say. And then this time round, the Republic of Ireland beat Northern Ireland 5-0. Wales lost to Scotland 3-1. Then Wales beat Northern Ireland 2-0 and the Irish beat the Scots 1-0, which was a kind of a winner-takes-all match, really. Mm. Robbie Keane got the only goal, and Ireland won the inaugural Nations Cup, conceding no goals in three games. And Keane now has 49 goals in 107 internationals.
Well, you know, it's from mighty Aircons, from tiny Aircons, mighty.
I see what you're saying, Pete. I saw the Wales Scotland game, and it was actually a decent game. I mean, it started off drab, as you like. Yeah. Then Earnshaw scored a great goal, took it really well. He's just in on goal, superb little deft finish over the keeper. But then Scotland came roaring back. It was a decent game in the end.
It's good to see Speed winning a match.
Yeah, well, he scored, and he got his first goal as well against Scotland in his tenure.
Robbie Keane, though, he's equaled Bobby Charlton's record, 49 goals.
Yeah, but they're playing for a different country.
Well, yeah, but it's even more remarkable, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue
it's
that
Robbie Keane.
Yeah, well, given that he's nowhere near as good as Bobby Charlton, it's remarkable. Yeah, but I would argue that Bobby Charlton and England played against decent teams a lot more often.
Well, true. It's still an incredible achievement.
Yeah, no.
Why won't you let me take this away from him?
Because you can't.
Okay, fine, I won't.
He's supported Republic of Ireland. Blah blah blah.
I've always been from there.
Yeah. Do you want to play for the Moon, Robbie Keane? Yes, I've always been a big fan of the Moon. The lunar eclipse is my favourite eclipse.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, just before we started to record this fine podcast, I hope it is anyway, we saw the Sepp Blatter press conference.
Yes, we did.
From FIFA House.
Under siege.
I don't
the
feel
house
we were
of FIFA.
I'm not sure we've watched it in a respectful enough manner.
Oh my goodness.
He was big on the respect campaign for that half an hour in particular. It's fine when like Spanish teams and Russian teams and stuff are racist and stuff. Not that bothered. No. But
He can exploit third world countries and bully governments.
But in that 30-minute press conference, respect campaign.
But when journalists have the cheek, and it is cheek, to ask a question at a press conference.
I loved it at that press conference. If when Sepp said, "All I've asked for is respect," someone just went, "Is it? Is it really, though, all you are?"
Because that's kind of why we're here.
You've been asking for a lot of things and getting them by and large, actually.
No, I just don't even understand what he was talking about there. He kept saying again and again, I ask you to respect me, blah blah blah. What, they're just asking you questions that you don't like, and it's not disrespectful. There wasn't a single unreasonable question in that press conference.
It was very frustrating.
Guy's so arrogant.
Jim, it's not a bazaar, it's
the House of FIFA.
The House of FIFA.
There's a great bit. The second question that the woman from CCTV or something, some
CCTV.
Yeah, that's what she said. I think it might have been a Far Eastern news outlet. And she asked her question, and Blatter went, "Thank you for your question, lady." He didn't say that. He didn't say to all the others, "Thank you for your question, man."
Did he give a proper response, or did he calm her off like he did? But even when he answered the question,
it was just filibuster. string.
Yeah, oh, yeah, just he just didn't answer the question.
Just the ramblings of an old man, of a deranged old man, drunk on power.
He's hiding behind, he can't speak English that well.
He slows it down a lot when he's got a difficult question to answer, and they're all difficult questions because he hasn't got a leg to stand on. It's like the closing scenes of Scarface, where he's completely under siege, he's got two guns and a pile of cocaine, and it's just like, that's all he's got.
I wouldn't have put it past Sven Sepp to walk off and then suddenly come out with a big machine gun. Just go for it. Get out of my house.
He is fiddling as FIFA burns. It's brilliant.
It's his downfall. The knives were very much out from the journalist.
Oh, see, he's finished.
But did you notice that most of the journalists were English?
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know about most of them, but
a lot of the questions were
English, I think. But there was a few Brazilian news outlets and stuff. But half an hour for the world press.
Yeah.
For the amount of allegations he has to answer.
Yeah.
30 minutes, and half of that was the preamble of him just yapping on.
Yeah, but
given you time.
Yeah, in that 30 minutes, he basically said, "Well, what's the matter with you lot? I'm here, aren't I?"
Yeah. If anything, you should be thanking me now.
But he pretty much did say that.
Yeah.
Staggering arrogance.
But the other thing is, it's interesting how the people who are being sort of investigated for this bribery and sort of stuff like Jack Warner, they've shown their real indignity.
Warner.
They're taking everyone down.
What I find brilliant about Warner is obviously you see him as this just being emblematic of kind of FIFA's corruption, but it's gone beyond FIFA now. He's taken them all down. He doesn't even care for that organisation. He's just a massive dick.
Apparently, he's been asked to step aside by his political party in the West Indies now.
Well, in Trinidad and Tobago, a friend of mine's out there, and he's saying that actually some of the local people quite like him.
Oh yeah,
And they're like, this is terrible. You know, all these allegations and words like corruption, you know, against Jack. It's all suck it in, people.
Yeah. It's the tip of the iceberg.
You're going to be intrigued what we've got in store for you.
It's got to the point now where the only good thing left about FIFA is the computer game. That's the only good thing left. Because that is still really good.
What about that fleece? The FIFA fleece you bought in South Africa, is that still good?
I've not worn it actually. It's in the old it's in the cupboard. I might bring it out.
You can't wear it now, you'll get punched.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't want to pay like good money to FIFA for that FIFA fleece. And imagine I was freezing cold.
It was either FIFA or death.
That's what I mean. It was FIFA or death. FIFA or death.
Do you have any other brand of fleece we can buy at the moment? No.
Just going to put it out there.
FIFA. Good. No.
Is that the campaign? like get out to drum break away from them.
A FIFA fleece is quite apt, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just because of the fleecing.
They just do a lot of fleecing.
Oh, it's good, James.
Stop saying everything's good.
Well, it is.
It's not.
No, it isn't.
Because some of this show is rubbish.
Indeed, it is. Did you hear about Jerome Valky, the FIFA Secretary General, sent Jack Warner an email? Saying how he pretty much claimed that Mohammed bin Hamman had bought the World Cup for Qatar or something.
Yeah, and just massively backpedaled. Say, no, what I meant by that is absolutely, the opposite, basically.
The moment that external people start interfering with FIFA emails, we've got a serious problem. And they will be immediately banned.
Yeah, you've got a serious problem because we'll see how corrupt you are.
Yeah.
Who gave him the Wi-Fi password? Was it you, Jack?
Yeah. Valka's a right dodgy one as well. He's just as bad.
Of course they are. But bin Hamman and Jack Warner have got a lot of allegations against them. Who's leading the allegations?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Big Chuck Blazer.
Yeah. I want him to be president.
Chuck time.
Fanning the flames with his blazer.
With his parrot.
I'd imagine he walks around with a parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you think Chuck's dodgy?
They're all at it, come on.
Well, I mean, it's all allegedly. Christ on a bike, Marcus. Do you reckon Chuck Blazer is dodgy? You're never going to be on Match of the Day. Christ. Do you think this fella's gay? Hey, guys.
Yeah, but it would make good television.
They're all in. They're all involved in a very murky organisation.
They all work for FIFA.
That's what I must be saying.
Bin Hammam's, his resignation statement was—it just sounded like he had a gun to his head while he was writing it. So I do not want to further damage the organisation that I love.
They are looking after me.
I just want to live.
I've been treated very well by my captors.
You have like a funny hand signal that Marines know if they're under duress.
Would you fancy Keyes to take over as president?
Imagine him popping up. God. Imagine if there was everyone stood down and there was another press conference just like that and it was all dark. The lights came up and you saw a figure and it was Richard Keyes.
God.
And he just went, all right.
It's like the bloody wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah. There's money on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like wrestling just dominated by heels.
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Elsewhere on the international stage, Joachim Löw, Yogi Love.
Yogi Love, one of my favourite names in football.
Who was, of course, the German manager at the 2010 World Cup. One of his blue cashmere jumpers, which he wore during the tournament, has been put in the German Football Federation's museum.
I like that.
Is a country with a rich footballing history.
Yeah.
It was a strong look as well. It was a very unique, strong look for the
Didn't
world.
Didn't he make his assistant dress just like him as well? Remember that? They were all dressed in like uniforms.
They're quite similar. Yogi himself said about this, he said, "This is a great idea." This sweater is an unforgettable reminder of the World Cup in South Africa. And
the vuvuzela, the sweater,
and the football.
It doesn't stop there. And the amazing time millions of fans, our players and coaches had. It reminds everybody of that.
Old.
First thing I think of.
It sounds like it's the first he's heard of it. I'd rather have his jumper.
I'd rather have Paul the Octopus in there.
Hey, do you agree?
No.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Paul the Octopus in the
jungle.
Yogi Love jumper.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. There's the compromise.
I thought you said in the jungle then. An interesting jungle. Image.
Other strange happenings. Luis Figo's now on the Just for Men advert.
Yeah, that was really odd.
Weird sort of. Especially for English television, but I guess it was probably a European advert, like they all are, and they're all redubbed and stuff, so I presume that was kind of why he was on there.
You get a nice chest and volley. On the advert,
targets the grey hair, but he didn't target the grey haired keeper in Euro 2004 final, did he?
Maybe that particular product wasn't about then.
Yeah, probably not.
Because it's 2011 now. Tough guy.
Yeah,
it's good to see. I love generic footballs in adverts like that. They're always like the Brazilian sort of classic. Black and white hexagon.
They always wear like a generic kit.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Like a pro soccer order
Absolutely
kit.
Absolutely wonderful.
Now, in South America, Carlos Tevez was back in Argentina. Boca Juniors, for their home match against Newell's Old Boys. He was there to collect an award for his services for the club. He was there for 3 years.
He's probably trying to organise his own whip around. Come on, I can be back. I can be back in 10 hours.
He wants to be there.
All we need is £500 million.
Hasn't he said recently, in an ideal world, I would be playing for Boca?
As he does,
and just they can't afford him.
Well, that's pretty much that I think would suggest this.
He can take a pay cut.
Yeah,
but Boca can't afford his contracts.
They can't afford the transfer.
City aren't going to just let him go. Boca won 1-0 against Newell's Old Boys. Palermo.
Didn't he miss a penalty as well, Sam?
Early on in the game, he missed a penalty.
Yeah, I would like to know how many penalties he's missed in his career.
Definitely four.
that we know of.
It's weird that every time I say the word penalty now, I'm saying penalty for a reason.
It
just looks wrong.
Because of you
tits.
It's Chris Waddle.
Because it is wrong, Pete.
Exactly. Also in South America, on the 7th of June, Ronaldo will have his farewell match for Brazil against Romania.
Hasn't this happened a lot?
I thought he had one, didn't he?
No. Not the farewell match.
The testimonial and the farewell.
That was
the
last.
Do you know, a couple of weeks ago, one of the big wigs at Corinthians said that, "I think Ronaldo's going to make a comeback. Trust me," and all this sort of stuff. He's the big one. He said he's not finished. He is.
He is finished.
Have you seen him?
He was finished ages ago.
We got so excited as well.
He's never finished eating.
Quickly, while we're on the subject of Tevez going back to Argentina, and he missed the city parade, didn't he, with the bus, and there's a lot of sort of controversy about that. Do you know what Balotelli did? Because he missed it as well. He was apparently found throwing water balloons at FIFA delegates somewhere.
Good lad.
My goodness.
That's great.
That's amazing.
That is different class.
What, instead of going on the parade?
Yeah. That's why he missed it.
If you imagine the cup final,
he gave some other excuse as to why he was not there.
Literally not raining on the parade.
No.
Raining on FIFA delegates.
Yeah, but that's such a worthy, like, if I was Mancini, I'd say, what were you doing? Oh, they were FIFA
man.
And I'd have a go at the rest of the squad.
Yeah, for not getting involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me fill one with Pete.
God, he's going to get up to all kinds of stuff when he hasn't got to waste his time with football over the summer. It's going to be brilliant.
Doing donuts in the car park in Maserati.
Now, is it time for Diego Corner?
It's up to you.
Well,
I cannot stress that enough.
Well, Luke's
every
there.
Week.
Luke's there. We could leave him there.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Oh, hey. Hello. Luke, we were just talking about you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes, Diego Corner time. Last one of the season. I'm a little bit sad about that, but hopefully it'll be back next year.
I'm mildly relieved.
I'll save all the stories throughout the summer.
Will you?
Yeah, we'll have to do a whole show just to cover them, I think.
Yeah, I just do it on my own.
Thanks.
literally tens of people would listen. You remember last week we were talking about the Argentina-Australia playoff?
No.
Yes, you do. The 1994 World Cup. Well, the captain of Australia at the time, Paul Wade, has come out and said, in quotes, he's absolutely gutted.
Mate, I'm gutted.
This is to do with the drugs.
Now?
Yeah, I don't think he knew
you
about
it. Just realised.
But what he said is, because what happened was, Maradona claimed that there was no drug testing, so Grondona, who's now the AFA president...
And a big wig at FIFA,
said that they should all take drugs to make themselves play better, basically.
Well, if there's no laws against it.
But interestingly enough, what Paul Wade's saying now is he's saying, when we went over to Buenos Aires for the second leg, or the first leg, whichever leg it was, he said, we saw how much the general public were into the game, and it would have been unthinkable for them to lose to us. So it makes sense to him, so he's now accepting it. But
I thought you were going to say, so we were allowed a split.
Yeah. But the point is, in the story is, I've got some more quotes from Maradona here. Now, El Diego appears to be absolutely gutted that it happened, even though he did it.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is, and this is a quote, why weren't there any anti-doping controls in the match if we had them in all the other games? They give you 10 anti-doping controls, and the only match that decides whether Argentina will go to the US or not, there is no anti-doping control. That's the cheat, and Grondona knows it. Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, he's just,
who cares now?
he just wants to beat Grondona with a stick, which is fine, because we all want that to happen as well, but he's perhaps not the man to do it.
We were given speedy coffee.
Oh.
They put something in the coffee, and that's why we ran more.
Is it caramel syrup?
El Diego, rather oddly ended on, we took whatever the doctor gave us. To go to the World Cup, we'd have taken even orange juice.
Perfectly fine drink. Yeah.
Can you take orange juice?
Yeah, exactly.
Snort it.
I'll end the final El Diego corner of the season by saying with a quote from Grondona himself. First of all, I don't have to repent because the majority of Argentine people accept me. More of that next season.
Yeah, indeed. Well, there definitely will be, because he's in charge of a club now. Can you believe?
What would you? Well, for now, will he make it through the summer?
He's still not turned up there yet, by the way. The season, the last game of the season, is on the 9th of June. He's not turning up till the end of June. No point.
What's the point?
Come on back, Luke. We've got some emails for all of you.
A B C D emails.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
Wasn't that lovely?
Well, it was something, wasn't it? It was an event, it happened.
It was good.
Jimbo.
I have got an email. Rambleforce, I am back. You read my email regarding Lutz Pfannenstiel 2 weeks ago with another tale of fantastic happenings in the football world of Portland, Oregon. We are Soccer City USA after all. Listening to last week's pod, wherein you referenced John Durning stepping onto the pitch during a testimonial with a pint of Guinness, I was reminded of 2009 when recently promoted Burnley came to play a friendly against my Portland Timbers. It was a warm July evening. It can get pretty hot and stuffy here in Portland, Oregon. And during the run of play, Burnley striker Stephen Thompson was unable to slow himself down and ended up bent over a railing at the edge of a beer garden at our stadium. I'm questioning why that's even near the side of the pitch.
Exactly.
To start with,
there's a park.
Is that why they played the game there? Is that why Burnley went there? Now we're going to Portland.
In his words,
oddly specific place to go.
Yeah, in his words, I kind of fell over the billboards at the side of the pitch and there was a cafe right on the side. I landed on this person's table and I don't know what happened. I just instinctively grabbed the guy's pint and had a drink.
Professional?
Yeah. He goes on to say that it was such a bad match that his having a sip of the pint got the biggest cheer of the night. Well, maybe it did get the biggest cheer. It certainly wasn't that bad of a match. But seriously, how often do you see a professional footballer have a swig of beer mid-match? He was fined a week's wages for it, but won over a fair few hearts with that. That's from Eric Alley. It's interesting.
That's absolutely amazing. Imagine if a police officer did that. I went to the old raid at a pub and I instinctively just saw a pint and just drunk it. No, it's not acceptable.
Yeah. Can't do that at work.
In the middle of a game.
I know, it's mental. That's amazing.
Pilot. Find a week's wages.
Just a pilot walking up and down the gangway.
Exactly.
I was taking my mid-flight stroll that I usually do. I saw the drinks trolley and I got involved, to be honest. What were you even doing walking up and down the plane?
It was an instinctive gin.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
No,
there's no excuse.
Middle of a game.
Peetski.
Hello.
Hello.
That's me. They're saying hello, not Kyle Barber, who sent me this email, and you lot as well. Rambleforce, having already suffered the ignominy of relegation from the Bundesliga, St. Pauli have found themselves being kicked while they are most definitely down this week.
Oh, no.
As Grillen magazine, which is a German barbecue/cooking mag, announced its Wurstmeister 2010 to 2011 findings.
Is that like Sausage Meister or something?
Yeah, I presume so. Yeah. Sausage.
That is a good name.
Wurstmeister. monster.
Sausage Meister.
Sounds like a sausage-based superhero.
A six-person panel of judges assess the sausages of all 18 top-flight Bundesliga clubs on the grounds of A, consistency, B, appearance, texture, taste, ingredients, and price. Werder Bremen's Smooth One came out on top with Nuremberg's Firework second.
Ooh, that sounds good. I fancy that one.
Yeah, that does sound good. I bet it's hot as well. Yeah. Spicy. Kaiserslautern's Palatine third.
Interesting.
The head judge said that we're looking for the sausage that was unique, spicy, snappy, and down to earth. And the top three all left a sensation that lingered long after the sausage was gone.
I don't like a sausage that's got ideas about the station. Yeah, I prefer them to be down to earth.
I don't like an arrogant sausage either.
I just love a sensation that lingers long after a sausage is gone. That's what I say.
It's like you're still eating it.
the bottom three came from St. Pauli. Surprising given their VIP sausage train, Mainz and Frankfurt. However, head judge said that none of the sausages displeased the panel.
Well, no, I bet they bloody didn't.
So basically, so
the
St. Pauli,
a great one.
St. Pauli have managed to get relegated at sausages.
Pretty much.
I'm surprised that Frankfurt were down there.
Yeah, well, it's ironic.
The price is interesting because the Bremen sausage costs just €2.80, and the most expensive in the league can be found at Freiburg at €4.50.
I think bearing in mind it's Bundesliga, €4.50 is quite a lot. I think
St. Pauli have basically just got bogged down with all this thing about having a train. Just get the basics right.
Yeah.
Get your sausages right.
Absolutely. Well, they want to get the delivery right.
To be fair, if there was a panel on sausage hospitality.
Yeah. Sospitality.
Yeah.
They'd be up quicker.
They'd win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there would be a competition, quite frankly.
We got another interesting email as well, which is.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're reading too.
I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to talk about it. It's a guy who's basically started a fanzine dedicated to footballers with moustaches through the ages.
Worthy.
It's a real, really dedicated Souness. Effort. Yeah.
Immediately thinking of Souness.
Valderrama.
Domenech. Domenech had an amazing back in the day.
Salvador Dali.
Yeah, not a footballer.
Well, how do you know?
It's called Real Men, The Lost Art of the Football Tash. And if you want to have a look at it, maybe order it, you can go over to andyhemming.com. So have a look at that. Have a butcher's look at that.
Ian Rush
is a
Aldridge.
Good one.
Ian Rush.
Yeah, together
there,
that was a great pairing.
They look very similar. Confused defences. Lawrence shaved his off because he had a bet that a certain team wouldn't stay up. I think it might have been Bolton.
Yeah.
And they did, so he had to shave it off.
He's kept shaving it
since. No. It's almost like he realised how ridiculous he looked.
Profile time. For the last time this season, as I throw my hands up in the air in disbelief.
He did as well.
Yeah. Now then, we've already mentioned this man in the show, perhaps at the start.
John Aldridge?
Diego?
Jack Warner? Mackin.
It's Edwin van der Sar.
Oh, fitting.
Apt
yeah. indeed. It's weird to think that his career's finished.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Especially as the player plays in such a huge game.
Yeah.
You think, well, hang on, they've got a bit more in there.
He can
surely
perform, yeah. He doesn't, again, as we've said like the past 3 weeks, he doesn't need to retire, but...
It was apparently sort of amen and aaron about retirement during the week before the Champions League final, but then Ferguson came out and said, he's definitely decided now.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got plans in place for another keeper, don't...
Apparently he said that, you know, if he retired now, he knew he'd be in the Dean Winners Hall of Fame. So yeah, that was the clincher.
Yeah.
United apparently agreed a deal for De Gea, haven't they? So yeah. That's done and dusted now.
Did you know though he was born on the 29th of October 1970?
I could have guessed.
3 years.
Three and a bit years. He's got that look, hasn't he?
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Three and a bit years after the summer of love.
There we go.
You can carry on now.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear. Did he save the sperm race? Or?
Really who knows?
He got a hand to it.
A spermy hand.
Very good.
Not the start he was after.
Very good indeed. That leads me on neatly to say he was a late developer in the game. Relatively speaking, of course, he started out playing for his local club. Now, to cut a long story short, the manager, the head coach of that team, used to play cards with Louis van Gaal.
That's an odd trivia.
And Van Gaal, of course, was assistant coach at Ajax at the time. Now, during one card game, he mentioned that he needed a goalkeeper. So Van Gaal's coach offered the young Dutch keeper
Goldfish.
And after Van Gaal saw him play, they got him to Ajax.
Great stuff.
When I first heard about this story, I thought, was he included in a bet or something?
Yeah.
I'll raise you my keeper.
Yeah.
Which I thought would have been great.
I like the idea of you saying that he was a late developer in that, like, people criticise him for being too small. Because you always get that with, like, legendary footballers. He was too small, too skinny.
Not van der Sar, nearly 6'6".
Although he's quite, he's a very slim man.
Yeah, he is.
Too slim.
Really?
For me. Never going
to
make
well,
it.
We're not asking you to. Now, Van Gaal, of course, became the head coach of Ajax and went about turning Van der Sar into a sweeper keeper.
I love that.
Do you?
One of the first keepers. Stop that. one of the very first sort of goalkeepers with the that was so comfortable with the ball at his feet.
Yeah,
that I can remember seeing when I was a little bit young.
Part absolutely. Of the legendary Ajax team as well.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah. No, you're right, Pete. It was the. I suppose it's that kind of. Total football ethos that runs through Dutch football's veins, that everyone's good with the ball and the keeper can come out. But I do like a keeper playing as a sweeper as well.
It's ludicrous that keepers can't control the ball and pass the ball properly. It's massive part of it, especially these days.
Of course, yeah. And when he joined Ajax, I think it was Stanley Menzo, I think, was the keeper at the time. Mm. But in his first full season as Ajax first choice keeper, he won the Dutch Goalkeeper of the Season Award, which is an incredible achievement. And then he went on to win the UEFA Cup with Ajax. And of course, as you said, look, he was a part of that great young Ajax team who won the Champions League in 95, beating Milan in the final.
Hmm.
And what a win it was. Patrick Kluivert, I think, got the only goal.
This is an amazing team.
Davins.
They had like a 29-year-old Kanu.
Yeah.
I like to think they'd all be decent in goal as well, with the whole sort of Dutch total football thing.
Decent everywhere. And that season, he was crowned the best goalkeeper in Europe. They got to the final a year later, losing to Juventus on penalties. Speaking of which, he once scored a penalty for Ajax. I think it was like something like an 8-1 win, and he went up the other end.
Get him up there.
Sent the keeper the wrong
way.
Nice.
Thanks very much. But he didn't really celebrate. He, in true sort of Van der Sar fashion, he just ran up, tucked it away, and then
ran off, back.
Yeah, he ran back. It doesn't make a fuss.
Well, I mean, no goalkeeper wants to see penalties go in, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe
he
just hated himself for it.
Yeah.
Turned against his own kind. Yeah.
Nightmare for the other goalkeeper. Imagine another goalkeeper scoring against
you. Remember Ricardo in the Portugal England shootout?
Yes.
Took his gloves off, stuck one away, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
No.
And then obviously Rogério Ceni and we've talked about goal scoring keepers all the time.
Kevin Pressman.
Pressman's another one.
Sheffield Wednesday away.
Schmeichel.
Yeah. Did he take a penalty?
No, but he scored goals.
We're talking about penalties.
Yeah. Specifically penalties here, Jim.
All right.
Indeed. It was around this time he played at Euro 96 for the Dutch, and then a couple of years later, World Cup 98, when they went all the way to the semis, involved in that wonderful game against Argentina in the quarterfinals, where, was it Ariel Ortega headbutted him on the chin? Van der Sar went down and he got sent off. But they were great Dutch sides back then. More so in 98 than in 96. Now, because of his appearance, I suppose his coolness and calmness, I suppose he's quite normal. He's not a crazy keeper.
No.
He has the nickname in Holland, the Ice Rabbit.
The Ice Rabbit.
Disappointing.
He kind of looks a bit longer.
The Ice Giraffe, maybe.
Giraffe.
How gutted would you be? So we've got a nickname for you, right? You're cool under pressure. You're calm. You know, you're
Iceman. Yeah, Iceman. Wicked.
But Val Kilmer in Top Gun. You know, Ice Rabbit. Ice what? Ice Rabbit.
Yeah. Dennis Bergkamp had the Iceman, didn't he?
Yeah, I suppose he already had that squared away.
Maybe they're all ice something.
Pick another animal. There's loads.
Rabbit.
Well, rabbits do sort of leap around a bit, don't they?
I suppose so,
Ice buffalo would be good.
Ice cat.
He's not a buffalo, he's too skinny.
No, I'm just saying, as a nickname.
Yeah.
Right then. Well, he stayed on at Ajax, winning league titles and cups until he left in 99 to sign for Juventus. Mm. Not a good move for him, it turned out.
He didn't have the best timer, did he?
No.
Culminating in them signing Buffon for about 48 million. I bet he was like, hang on a minute. It was 32 million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Well, they played in a very different way, of course, and he wasn't used to this. And he was told that all this sort of sweeper business and playing the ball out. No, don't do that here.
I'm not having a go at him, because this is his profile entry and it's a positive thing. But, I mean, they played a different way. He's still just a keeper.
Yeah.
True, but they promised him, I think, that we're going to incorporate, you know, we like you the way you are. You sign a player, surely, for the way he is.
Yeah, of course.
And they said that to him, and they kind of promised him this and that and one thing and another. And when he turned up, it was kind of like, no, you fit into our system.
Sorry, Ice Rabbit. No carrots for you.
But, he didn't really adapt. And actually, the Italian media kind of mocked him eventually, calling him Van der Goal.
That's where he resides, really. So I mean, it's not a criticism.
No, that's right.
I think Ice Rabbit is more of a
criticism. That's his nickname.
However, later on in his career, during Euro 2008, he captained Holland to a 3-0 win against Italy after he played superbly. Thank you.
One match.
And Buffon, apparently Buffon said to him after the game, "Edwin, you are the best goalkeeper in the world."
Amazing. It's good coming from Buffon, that is.
Yeah, you take that.
Because it's probably him.
Yeah. Like being called the genius by Einstein.
Yeah.
Now, after Juventus, he went to Fulham.
$7 million? A lot of money.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, he was happy to get away from Juventus by then. He would have been paid quite handsomely. Have been on a
that
good wage.
Was an incredible coup for Fulham. I know we mentioned this recently. That is absolutely brilliant.
And he was there for a surprisingly long time.
Four years. Hmm. And of course, playing in the Premier League and all the rest of it, you know, so slightly surprising on one hand, but maybe not so on the other, because his stock wasn't an all-time high at the time.
Yeah, good move by Fulham. Good gamble to see that he was decent. He was having a bit of a bad time and taking advantage of the situation, you know.
And Al Fayed will do that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in 2005, he signed for Manchester United, which was a match made in heaven. In 2007-2008, he kept 24 clean sheets in all competitions.
It's great. You can't argue with that.
You're not arguing with that, are you, Jim?
No, it would be churlish too.
They won the Champions League in 2008, where he was the hero in the penalty shootout.
Didn't Arsenal try and sign him, but they decided against it?
I think so.
I don't know. In that penalty shootout, there's a really interesting bit of footage of when Anelka takes his penalty, and Van der Sar points into one corner as if to say, either to say, "I know you're going to do this," or "What if you do that?" Yeah. It's really quite incredible mind games.
I mean, some of the great keepers have done that in the past. I think Gordon Banks every now and then would take his cap off and throw it into one of the corners or something.
Yeah, just get people thinking.
Yeah, absolutely, and it worked.
Well, you remember was it Big Jens or Oliver Kahn that pulling out the notes from his sock?
It was Jens, wasn't it?
Against
it was
Italy.
Well, that's a bit the Argentina, I think.
I was against Argentina.
I think that's a bit more measured, though. That's research. That's not mind games.
But what I mean is, even if he didn't have anything on it, if the striker saw him looking at it, he'd still get in their head.
I'm not going to put it where I usually put it.
Yeah, because you'd be thinking, wouldn't you? It's kidology, isn't it?
Isn't it always? And then, of course, he played at Euro 2008, where the Dutch reached the semis again, and he was in the team of the tournament. He had a good time there. In 2009-2010 season, whilst he was at Manchester United, of course, he broke the English Premier League record, and I think it may even be a European record. The longest amount of time without conceding a goal, 1,311 minutes.
Wow. It's loads.
Yeah.
It's literally 1,000 minutes, Richard.
What do you think of that, Pete?
That's a long time, isn't it, clearly? I mean, what do you already say?
You've played in goal. You know how hard it is.
I can't keep 2 minutes.
Would you be happy with a half?
I'll be happy with a half, yeah.
We should talk about the sort of keeper he was, though. Very, very good shot stopper. Yeah. You know, commands his area very well. And like you say, probably the attribute that people respect the most, from what I've read of people playing alongside him, is how cool, calm and collected
he is. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to give you confidence knowing he's there behind you. Absolutely. You know, and just that's so important in a defence, obviously.
I know he's a giant man, but particularly good on high crosses.
Because
a low crosses he can't really do much with, but the high crosses he would just be absolutely statuesque.
Sure. Well, and he was, of course, really the replacement for Schmeichel. And they took a while to get that in. They had various amounts of goalkeepers and none of them really fitted. A few nice moments and whatnot, but really Van der Sar was the one. But he was very different to Schmeichel. Schmeichel obviously shouting all the time and was a physically big presence, but made sure everybody knew he was there. Whereas Van der Sar, as you say, is kind of a little bit more subtle, but yet equally a very, very safe pair of hands.
Well, he more sort of oozes confidence through his paws rather than his shouts at everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about Van der Sar as well, and I know we said earlier he didn't have the greatest game in the Champions League final just recently, but there's one great shot of when Messi took a shot from outside the area, and the camera shot was behind Messi, and Van der Sar wasn't even in the camera shot, and the ball was going into the far corner, and just from nowhere Van der Sar extended both arms. You know, I mean, if you think about it, he's 6'5", 6'6", with both his arms extended, you're talking about 8 feet tall, you know, maybe longer than that, just the full length and pushed it around the post, and it really brought home to me thinking, oh, it must be so difficult to score against a really top quality keeper, because he makes himself so big.
Indeed he does. But it was the last game of his career, and it quite sad for a sour note for it to finish on, but he became the oldest player to have appeared in the Champions League final at 40 years old. I mean, that's an incredible achievement.
He's the oldest Premier League winner as well, isn't he?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Blimey. I mean, but it's not a case of you look at him and think, a bit old, what was Ferguson doing? No. He would have been stupid not to have played him.
Yeah.
Which, again, on
especially if he was on the bench, to be fair.
Given how much he drinks.
But on paper, it's an incredible way to finish his career.
Oh, yeah, but like what Jim said earlier about how confident you'd be as a defender having him behind you. I mean, how great is it as a manager? You haven't even got to think about your goalkeeping position.
Yeah.
It's down straight away. Look what Wenger's gone through this season with goalkeepers.
And Ferguson before as well, when trying to find Van der Sar. It's just a huge thing, isn't it, to have a trustworthy
Bartes
keeper.
Bartes and stuff. It's just like...
Yeah.
Bartes just went from the sublime to the ridiculous. It's a bit of Gomez.
It almost seemed like Bartes was signed because he was a character.
Yeah,
Ferguson likes his very sort of, you know.
Bartes was a great keeper.
Characterful.
You can't forget that Bartes was a brilliant goalkeeper, and he served, you know, he served United well for a period, but he didn't have that longevity perhaps that Van der Sar had. Mm. And as when I mean he replaced Schmeichel, in the hearts of the fans, I think. Mm. You know, because as I say, yes, of course they had various other replacements and whatnot, but Van der Sar was the one who everyone kind of thought that position.
Yeah, he cemented his place.
Yeah, is what I'm saying. 130 Dutch caps.
He retired a few years ago, didn't he?
Perhaps I could have worded that better. International caps. The most capped player in Holland's history.
He retired in 2008, and he arguably could have carried on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he could have, quite simply. Anyway, I shall leave the final words to the Dutch novelist and amateur goalkeeper, Chris Koelemans, who said, Van der Sar is fundamentally different. He is very strong, but also very careful, serious and respectful towards the ball. He's not aggressive, he doesn't attack the ball like other goalkeepers. He cares about it. I love that. His technique is sensitive, masterful. Some goalkeepers regard the ball as the enemy because it's trying to penetrate their sacred area, but Van der Sar seems to welcome the ball, regard it as his ally, his friend. Marvellous stuff.
What a way to round off the season.
Edwin Van der Sar, come on in, pal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this season.
Mm. Oh, emotional.
If you want to get in touch with us, then the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. But remember, we're going to be back at the start of August, August the 3rd.
Yeah.
So,
but do keep in touch over the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, there will be stuff going on at thefootballramble.com all over the summer. There'll be blogs, possibly a few videos from us.
Yeah, PFC, is that still going?
PFC every Friday. There won't be Ramble Extra on there, but there'll be a cartoon and something stupid that I've done.
Yeah.
Some bloody nonsense.
But what have we got for the blog roundup this week?
The blog roundup. Well,
last one of the season.
Indeed. I am left enraptured by the magic of Barcelona in the Champions League final, while Andy Brassel has the scoop on the women's equivalent, as well as a piece on AFC Wimbledon's promotion to the Football League. Mikhail Zakodny tells the story of the hoo-ha surrounding an unfinished stadium in Poland. Chris Nee looked at the problems MLS faces with regards to major expansion, and James Appel tells the story of the team who made the Russian Cup final without scoring or conceding a goal. So, yeah, there you go. Get over to thefootballramble.com and have a look at the blogs.
They'll still be there all through the summer. Mm-hmm. At least some of them. If people stop writing throughout the summer, the rest of us will have to chip in. So look out for that.
Oh, I'll have to do some drawings.
Any more? No. Okay. Thank you for your support, ladies and gentlemen. It's been greatly appreciated. For those who've listened and all those on the forum and
emails on the Twitter, people who go out there and tell their friends about
Ramble Evangelists.
The Ramble Evangelists.
The whole family. The whole Ramble family.
Wonderful. And of course, we will be back, as I said, on August the 3rd. So, yeah, a little bit of time off, perhaps more beneficial for you than us. but, yeah, thank you so much. And it's been a gas. So look out for the website over the summer, thefootballramble.com, as we said before. And that leaves me enough time to say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Have a cracking summer, everyone.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Thanks and goodbye.
We're all off to disrespect Sepp. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Smash it. You're going around there any night, fan, redknapp hanging out the back of it.
Alex Ferguson is being bullied by a player and his agent, or whatever how you want to call it. How wrong is the game?
Para Xavi, assistencia de Xavi, mezcla para Messi. Messi, ancora Messi, gol, 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 gol.
Good afternoon or good evening, depending how do you feel now at 6:30. We are not in a bazaar here. We are in the FIFA house. Thank you for your question, lady.
I mean, you've made your name as a wheeler and dealer. There's not been much wheeling and dealing here.
No, I'm not a wheeler and dealer. No, fuck off.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that.
Here comes Barton's delivery. It's a teasing one. It's headed away by Arsenal. Check Tiote! Ah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.